rock is absolutely beautiful, but I'm out of shape. So glad you're here this morning. For the ones that are tuning in on Facebook this morning, we welcome you as well. Thank you for joining us. If you don't mind, hit the share button. That way we can reach more people with the gospel. And if you have any prayer needs or anything like that, you can put them on there. And if you're here and you can't shout out your prayer request, you can pull up the live stream. There's enough signal to do that. And you can type them in there, and then I'll look at them at the end of service. Tonight, just a couple quick announcements before we get started. Tomorrow, we will be feeding the McConnell family. We ask that you have food here by 3 o'clock, and so that we can minister to them. And of course, it starts to drizzle rain. But we're going to minister to that family. Expect to feed 25 to 30 head. What we'll do is we'll set up the same as we did during with the Eads family. We'll set up in the arts and crafts room because of our construction project going on in the social hall. They'll walk down on this entrance. We'll put food here, and then they'll eat in that other room. So help out if you can. If you need to bring food this afternoon, or if you need me to pick up food tomorrow, let me know as soon as you can so we can get that taken care of. Tonight at 5:30, building committee meeting will be here inside the church. We'll meet in the sanctuary. We'll discuss our some things that are maybe coming down the line. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll be having a short business meeting. I know that we had a business meeting last Sunday, but we've got to have another one. Some wording has to be inserting certain ways for the changes with our treasurer's position. And Sister Shirley, you may not know it, but you were still the assistant on the roll, and we had never changed that. So we've got to make all these formal changes, and it's got to be in writing and voted on and all that kind of good stuff so that we can move forward with our changes. And then immediately following that, we haven't been able to have one being because of we've been shut down or online. So tonight after that, we'll be having our prayer meeting where we'll be calling out the names of the sick, the names of the lost, and praying for all of our churches in our area. So any other announcements? Anybody? I don't see nobody waving at me, so I guess not. Let's open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for this day and all your many blessings, Lord, and we just ask you to be in the midst of our service today. Lord, we know that this isn't a conventional type service, but Lord, we know that as two or three are gathered, there you'll be in the midst. So Lord, I'm claiming that promise today that you'll be here with us. Lord, I ask you to be with the singing this morning. I ask you to be with the preaching. But Lord, I just ask you that your name be glorified today. And Lord, we pray that if there be one today that's listening that's lost, Lord, that today would be in their day of salvation. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Sister Kelly.
Thank you.
Jesus.
All right, I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit different. If you have your cell phones, and you can get on the live stream, or if you're sitting at home on the live stream, the next song that we're going to sing is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And what I would like is for the live stream to be flooded with reasons why Jesus is our friend, and what he's done for you, and things that he's done for your family, and things like that. So if you have it, I think it would be a nice touch if you would just type in a real quick blurb, and we'll go ahead and sing this song.
Can you hear me still? Brother Jason can. Once again, thank you for tuning in this morning. If you're watching on Facebook, I know I looked a while ago and there were several there. We've got a good crowd here this morning, so thank you for being here. I'm going to preach fast this morning because it looks like the rain's on its way. So if it starts raining and you don't see me, I have went back inside underneath the shelter. All right. Book of 1 John chapter 5 this morning. 1 John chapter 5. When you find your place there, honk for me so I know you're there, or holler or do something. turning my phone on here to where I can see if people comment on the stream this morning. 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to read one verse, and then I'm going to preach down through the chapter. and just see what God will do with this. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's pray. Lord, once again, we love you. We thank you for each and every one that's here, Lord. And now we just ask you to bless the teaching and the preaching of your word this morning. Lord, we pray that if there be one that's lost, they'll come to know you today. Lord, we pray that if there be some that's backslidden, that they'll come back to you. But Lord, all in all, we just ask for your name to be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last Sunday, I preached on what is truth, on the subject of truth. And all through the Bible, we went from, we were really Old Testament, New Testament in several different places, but we saw that throughout the Bible, from cover to cover, the Word of God is truth. It is something that we can stand on. It is something firm. It is a solid foundation for our everyday lives. It is something that we can trust in. It is something that we can base our whole lives off of, because the Word of God is truth and it is solid. This morning I want to continue to preaching on the thought of preaching truths, because I believe that this time there's a lot of false truths that are being preached on, but not only just coming from the pulpit, but there's a lot of false truths coming from the news and then on social media and things like that. So I believe that God is wanting to do something through truths, through His Word. Why is the truth so important? Why is truth so important? One of the greatest tools that Satan has is his ability to make a lie seem believable. His greatest tool is being able to have women and men, boys and girls, doubt their salvation or worry about their salvation. There's so many today that are literally paralyzed in their Christian life because they don't, either they're not certain of their salvation or they're worried that they never really got saved. But the Bible says that these things are written that you may know, that you may know. Did this microphone get too hot? Is it loud? It's good? All right. Todd says it's good, so we'll go with that. Satan uses his tools of doubt and worry and through lies to paralyze us in our Christian walk. Because if he can get us concentrated on worrying and doubting and all these things, if he can get us concentrated on anything other than what the truth is, then he can distract you and keep you from allowing God to have a blessing in your life and to keep you from doing what the will of God is for your life. The reason we don't see churches doing as churches did in the days past is because Satan has a really strong hold on our churches. He has a really strong hold on individuals, and it's, we have bought into his lies. We have bought into what everybody else says true instead of basing our truths and what we know on what the Word of God says. A couple of things I want you to leave here today having no doubt of, have no worry of, or anything else. One, if you're lost today, you can be saved. That is the truth. It's not anything through me or anyone else, but it's by what the Word of God says. If you're lost today, anybody can be saved. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. Any person can be saved. Number two, if you are saved, you can know it. If you are saved, you can know it. Today, there is no shortage of the amount of people who think that they're saved, but they're not. But there's also a lot of people who are saved, but they're not certain about it. They're not settled in it. They're not firm on their foundation of their salvation. So if that is you today, how can you know that you're saved? Number one, there's been a change. No, there's been a change. In verses 1 through 3 here, we see this. It says, whosoever believe that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is the begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You see, salvation occurs when we believe. When we believe. The word believe is more than just knowing. It's more than just knowledge. The literal definition of the word believe is to entrust. To entrust. Salvation is when you trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone to be your personal Savior. Nothing else. It's putting nothing else in front of your salvation. It's just you and Jesus and God Almighty. That's what it's all about. There's no work that you can do to be saved. There's nothing in your flesh that you can do to be saved. Jesus did all that was necessary on Calvary's cross. Your penalty has been paid, the punishment has been paid for, and you can be saved today. You can believe in that. You can trust in that. The word believed used in reference to towards salvation in the New Testament is recorded over 150 times. In John chapter 1 verse 12 it says, as many have received him, to them gave he power to become even to them that believed on his name. Believed on his name, which were born, but catch this, but they weren't born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You notice in that text there, that was John chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, if you want to write it down, look at it later. John didn't say there that we were just born. He says we are born not of blood. You see, salvation is not something that you inherit. It is not something that you inherit through your bloodline. It is not something that is passed down from generation to generation. It can't be the where my mom was saved, through her having me, I was saved. It doesn't work that way. You see, you can be born a Muslim, you can be born a Jew, you can even be born a Catholic, but you cannot be born a Christian. You can be born into a Christian family, but you must be born again yourself in order to become a Christian. That's how it works. In order for you to become a Christian, after your first birth, you must die to that self and you must be born again. John says that we're not born not of blood. Then he goes to say, nor of man. That means that no human being can give you the new birth that you need. I say it many times. You can't depend on your salvation through your grandparents. You can't salvation from your parents. You can't. It doesn't work that way. It's not through birth, through blood, nor of man. You see, human. This means no human can get this new birth of what you need. Brother Jason can't save Jack. Brother Daryl can't save Ethel, even though we wish he could. I mean, just that's my one that I pick on. I got a honk out of that one and several amens. But it doesn't work that way. I can't save somebody. Only Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone can save somebody. You see, he goes on to say, we are not born of blood, nor of man, nor the will of the flesh. Through our flesh will make us believe certain things that are not true. Our flesh, because it's controlled by Satan, our sin is our flesh is sinful, and Satan has control over that sin. And through that flesh and him having control of that sinful nature of us, he would have you to believe that because you're a new person or you do good things, that you can be saved, and you can do it all on your own. that you can do it all yourself. But it's nothing more than a lie from Satan. That's all it is. It's a lie. You cannot be saved by being a good person, even though I know some great men and women, but they're lost. It says nothing about their character, but it says a lot about their destination. The decisions that they've made. Salvation only comes through the exclusive work of Almighty God. It's not something that we can do on our own. This is what one of the areas that people worry about. They worry whether or not they prayed the right prayer in order to be saved. But folks, can I tell you this morning, you're living dangerously if you put your faith in a prayer that you prayed once upon a time, and more than likely, somebody else led you through that prayer. You see, it's not in that prayer that saves you, but it is in the belief through that prayer that gives you the assurance of your salvation. The prayer is important, but the assurance does not come from the fact that you prayed a prayer. There's many that's gotten saved, and we talked about this in discipleship training one night. There's been so many that walked the aisle. Was it when they got to the end of the aisle that they got saved? No. In most cases, it was before they left their seat. God was already dealing with their heart, and they were already saved because they believed. That's why they were going to the altar, asking God to save them. The deal had already been done. Assurance comes in your salvation from you putting your faith in Christ Jesus and in Christ Jesus alone. This is election year. We talked about that last Sunday. People wanting to know what their people stand on. They want to know what their truths are. They want to know all these things. But can I tell you, the most of what you're going to find is all lies. If you want to know what's true today, open up your Bible and look from cover to cover. That's what truth is. And folks, can I tell you, if you're lost today, you can be saved and you can know that you're saved. You can know that you know. Jesus said in John 6:47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life." Even as far as modern science and medicine has come, they have not stopped the fact that you're going to die one day. Now, they can keep you alive artificially. They can hook you up to all kinds of machines. But if you're dead, you're dead. If the power goes out, guess what? You are dead. It's done. It's over. But can I tell you, as a believer, as a born-again child of God, when this body dies, it's only just the beginning. It's only just the beginning. I was thinking about that the other day of some people that have passed away over the years in my life that have meant a lot to me. And I miss them. But I wouldn't bring them back for the world, because I know that they are alive today just as I'm alive today. But they're just alive on the other side, and they've got it a whole lot better off than what I do. And one day we'll get there. Saying a prayer is not how we are saved. Prayer is the way that we express our belief, and believing is what saves. There's so many today, and me and Brother Lander and another gentleman talked about this the other day. I told him, I said, I'm old-fashioned. Yeah, I like technology and things like that, but when it comes to preaching and when it comes to invitations and it comes to singing and music and all that, I'm very much old-fashioned. That's just the way I am. That's just me. If somebody else does it different, that's fine. But I think there's a special blessing, and the Word of God says that you should, through your salvation, as you change to this new creation, you're going to act different. If I act different, people are going to know that something's going on. earlier in our marriage, I was more of a heathen. And I'd get myself in trouble because of the way I'd act. Sierra'd say, "What'd you do?" I said, "I ain't done nothing." She said, "Don't lie to me." She's worse than mom ever was. God gave her that spiritual gift of knowing when Tim screws up. She's blessed that way. But you see, after salvation, there's a change. And it's not the particular prayer that you pray, but it's in the heart of belief that you pray the prayer. You see, at that point, you may have prayed even before that. You may have prayed for God to, before salvation, prayed for God to be with the sick and do all these things. But in your heart, you may have thought that you meant it, but you really didn't, because there had not been a change there. We see several instances. Sierra just sent down a message, somebody go tackle him down the stairs because I'm talking about her. So pray for me that I make it out of this alive today. We see several instances of prayer and salvation all through the New Testament. And you know, we have what we call the sinner's prayer. And it's very nice, it's organized, it's scripture by scripture, and it helps. But it's not what it's all about. And through the New Testament, we see several different ways of not elegant prayers, but words that cry out in belief on the Son of God, on the belief that Jesus is the Christ. In Luke chapter 18, verse 13, we read of a tax collector who cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus went on to say in this discussion that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Will be exalted. In Luke chapter 23, verse 42, we see the picture of Jesus hanging on the cross on Calvary. He's hanging between two thieves on a cross, and one cries out, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." There was nothing elegant about this prayer. It was not a rehearsed prayer. It wasn't even a request. It was a belief. He said, "Lord, remember me when you get to heaven. Remember me when you get to your Father's house. Remember me." It was a picture of he believed at that moment who the Son of God was, and he knew the only way that he was going to get to where Jesus was going is if he believed in Jesus Christ. He believed that he recognized who Jesus was. And Jesus said to him, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." It wasn't a rehearsed prayer. It wasn't a special prayer or anything like that. It was a belief. It was a belief in the Son of God. You see, both of these accounts show conversations with different words being said. But in both cases, and in most cases today, the words that were said were different. The words at the time of your salvation were different. There's not a specific prayer. And if there was, we'd all be in trouble, because the prayer that I prayed was not the same as the prayer that Brother Todd prayed, or the prayer that Brother Lander prayed, or the prayer that Brother Harold prayed. It's what's in our heart, but it's through the belief on the Son of God, Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things that can be rehearsed. There's a lot of things that can be modeled. But the time of your salvation is something that is going to be different. And each child of God is different. Folks, it's more than just words that come out of your mouth. It's a belief and a faith that's planted in your heart. That's the way that you know. The prayer is just the outward expression of our outwardly of our what's going on the inside. It's just the outward expression of our belief that's on the inside that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Prayer is just our way of starting the relationship. But we're not starting that relationship in trusting in anyone or anything else other than Jesus Christ to save us. Because once it's real, once you really get saved and truly trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will know that it's real. You'll feel a difference. You'll know a difference. Why? Because you have truly believed in the Son of God. It's a belief. In our text here in 1 John, in verse 1, John says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." When one is truly born again, they receive the new life that we talk about. To be born again means not to be born of this earth. You've already been born to this earth. When you're born again, it means that you're not born of this world. You are born from above. You are born again into the family of God. It's a spiritual change. It's a heavenly change. When you are born this way, when you're born again this way, there will be evidence in your life of that changed life that you have now. It's not just a change in your life. It is a complete changed life. That is the repentance of sin. It's a 180-degree turn. It is from me turning this way to going that way. It's going in a completely different direction. It is a complete new relationship at that time. You have a complete new life. Once you're saved, Jesus is in you. When Jesus is truly in you, there will be a change for the whole world to see. There's people sitting here today. There's people in all kinds of pews all across the world and all in our nation and our area. There's people sitting at home today. They prayed a prayer because a preacher told them to, and they prayed that prayer so many years ago, and they're relying on that prayer that was led for them and was modeled for them. They're relying on that prayer that they didn't mean to get them into heaven. Now, some of them sincerely meant it. Several of you got saved at this church through Vacation Bible School, but you said the prayer and you truly meant it. But you can tell that you truly meant it because guess what? You're here today. There's fruits of your labor. There's evidence of your salvation. The assurance that the folks had today of their salvation that got saved 50 years ago was not in the prayer that they prayed, but at the difference in their life of that time when they said the prayer. But not only that, their assurance comes from what's going on in their life now. What's going on in their life right now today? Where are they at? What are they doing? What are they doing for the glory of Christ Jesus? Me and Brian was talking the other day. Said he had an individual that if there would be anybody in their church that you would think that they were saved, it was them. They're having drive-in church like we are. Said after the service, got talking to this individual, and the Lord convicted them that they weren't saved. Because they weren't trusting in the relationship in Jesus. They knew all the Scripture. They had studied it. They believed it. But at the time that they asked Jesus into their heart, they did not really mean it. They were just doing something that was told to them to do. The question in your life must be this. It's not that. The question in your life you must ask is not, did I believe in Jesus? The question is, am I believing in Jesus even now today? Is there evidence in your life that you've been changed? Is there evidence in your life that you've really been saved? Throughout the New Testament, we're told of different ways that people can see the evidence of your salvation. Here in verse 2, we're given one of those descriptions of a saved child of God. John says the evidence of our salvation is love. If we are truly saved, we will love God and we will love others. Then John goes on to say in verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." Where did John get this from? Did he just pull it out of the air and just write it down? No, he learned it directly from Christ Jesus Himself. There was a day that a lawyer came to Jesus and asked Him, "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" And in Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40, the answer was this. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets and the prophets." Now with these two commands, Jesus summed up the whole law of God, and they were both centered on love. They were centered on love. That is a characteristic of a Christian. They will love one another. You'll love the Lord thy God. You'll love one another as yourself. But if you continue to looking at how you should love and who you should love, if you turn over to Luke chapter 6, we're told these words given by Jesus. He said, "Love your enemies." Now this gets a little bit harder because a lost person can love somebody, but it takes a special changed person to love your enemies. Love them that and do good to them which hate you. You don't see a whole lot of that anymore in today's society, do you? Love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. You see, you may be able to love a lot of people, and you may say that it's easy, but I don't know of one person that finds it easy, whether they're lost or saved, to love their enemies. Now, it's a whole lot easier if you're saved because guess what happens? If you don't love the ones that curse you and that hate you and despitefully use you, guess what happens? Because the Holy Spirit's living inside of you, you know that He's real and He's really inside of you because conviction takes place. He lets you know, hey, you're not loving that person like you should. You're not doing like you should. You need to ask them, you need to tell them that you love them. Even though that they did you wrong, guess what? You still have to love them. But there's not a lost person out there that can do this. It's something that is a characteristic that is passed down in this new life through Christ Jesus. And it's handed down by Christ Himself. Think about it. As He was crucified, as He was beaten for the sins of the world, as He was hanging there on that cross for the sins that for you and the sins that I would commit, how did He act? What did He do? What did He say? Did He curse them? Did He threaten them? No, He didn't. He said, "Father, forgive them." He had just had His beard plucked out of His face. He had just been whipped to the point to where they say that you couldn't even tell who He was anymore. But yet, as He's hanging there, bleeding on the old Calvary's cross, on that old rugged tree, He said, "Father, forgive them." Not the ones that were just standing by over there, but the ones that were doing it. The ones that were still standing there mocking him and ridiculing him and questioning him, saying, if you're the Son of the Cross, could he? Absolutely he could. But he didn't. Why? Because he loved his enemies just as he loved himself. And because he loved you, he had to love them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How was it that they couldn't know what they're doing? You're saying, preacher, they didn't. How could he say that? Did they not realize that they were taking a whip and beating a man? No, they knew that. They knew that. But they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know Jesus. So they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know that they were crucifying the Son of God. They didn't know. They didn't know because they weren't saved. Because they weren't saved. Folks, once the love of Christ comes into your life, there's a change. There's a change. Can I ask you this morning, do you know that there's been a change in your life? Do you know that there's been a time in your life to where there's been a change? Not that that you said a specific prayer, but you know you're saved because you've truly trusted and truly believed on the Son of God. You know what it feels like to be under Holy Ghost spiritual conviction. You know what that feels like. But if you say you've got saved and you do something that goes against what God has said, and there's no conviction there, chances are, by the Word of God, you're not saved. Because there's no change there. If He's dwelling within you, He's going to come out of you. Just like the words that we put into our mouth, kids say the darndest things, don't they? Charlotte come in the living room the other day, and I'll tell her all the time, Charlotte, you're getting on my nerves. You're getting on my nerves. She come in there the other night, and it was way past her bedtime, and she said, Daddy, I'm going to need you to turn the TV down. I'm going to need you to turn the TV down. I said, why? She said, because you're kind of sort of getting on my nerves. I wonder where she heard that before. Just as what we take in comes out, if you've ever taken in Christ into your life, guess what? He's going to come out. And if there's situations to where Christ doesn't come out, then you need to check in, folks. You don't need to trust in a prayer, but you need to trust in the one that really can save you. Now I'm going to do something a little bit different because there's a whole lot more into this text that I could preach on. But I think it's sometimes you just know that you need to shut it off because God's dealing with somebody. So I'm going to start with this. Do you know that you know today? Whether you're here watching at home, do you know that you know? Ask yourself a few questions. Who is the Lord of my life? Who is the Lord of my life? Now we're talking about truth, so tell the truth. Who is the Lord of your life? Is Jesus number one highest priority of your life? Does He have complete control of you? Can others see it? Bible says that you'll be able to tell them by their fruit. You can tell that that's an oak tree because it produces acorns, or if you pronounce it right, acorns. If we had pecan trees, I'd say it'd be a pecan tree because it produces pecans, but there's none here, so. If you go up to an apple tree, what do you expect it to produce? Apples. If I planted an apple tree and I got tomatoes out of it, I'd cut the sucker down. Because it's not what it says it is. Folks, same is true for you. There's going to be a time to where God judges each and every one of us. And if your name, like we looked at last week, if your name is not written down, you'll be cast into the midst of the fire, into an eternal hell. Folks, today I want you to see. I want you to know truth. I want you to know that you know. I want you to be saved, and not only for you to know it, but for others to know it. Not for your glory, not for my glory, but for God's glory. You can know today. You can know. If you had doubt, nail it down. What is so bad about just saying, you know what, I'm not sure if I really meant it back then, but I know I mean it today. Let today be the day that you really get saved. Or maybe you are saved and you're just not where God's wanted you to be. You know, you can rededicate your life to Him at any point in time. You can ask God to forgive you. That's the glory about being saved. You can ask God to cleanse you from your sins again. You can just say, hey, I need to be back with you. I'm missing that communion with you. I need to be back. You can do that today. Folks, Jesus loves you today. If you ain't heard anything else, the truth is this, Jesus loves you. And that's the greatest truth that you ever need to know, that Jesus loves you. So whether you be lost and need to be saved today, or you be backslid and need to return back to God, won't you do that? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord, and we just ask you to move in whatever way you see fit. Lord, we pray that if there be one that's lost, Lord, I pray that you won't let them leave this place. You won't let them get off the couch where they're at. Maybe they're listening at home. Maybe you won't let them move from the place that they're in until they make it right, until they get saved. Lord, I pray for that old-fashioned Holy Spirit conviction this morning. Lord, that you'll draw Christians back to you. Lord, the true children of God, Lord, I pray that we'll act like the church. Lord, we'll be the church again. Lord, if there's ever been a day that we've needed to be the church, today is the day. So, Lord, I pray for that. Lord, we ask you to bless your word this morning. Lord, let it move in lives like never before. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That if you're watching at home, we appreciate you tuning in. Hope God blesses you. And if you need to be saved, need help with it or anything like that, send us a message. Either leave a comment, send us a private message, and we'll do our best to help you through what the Word of God says about being saved. If you need prayer, leave it in the comments this morning, and we'll definitely lift up those prayer needs, okay? But if you don't know anything else, know that Jesus loves you. God bless you.